This service was a report, a set of facts, a set of statements. Here's the things we did. What you just saw was the beginning of Susan's report to the UUA. She continues for another 20 minutes or so and reports, but that piece, it just says everything I want to say. So for those of you who don't know, a very brief explanation, Unitarian Universalism is run from the bottom up. Our congregations form a voluntary association whose purpose is to support the presence and work of those congregations. Let me say that again. The purpose of the UUA is to support the presence and work of our congregations. The Unitarian Universalist Association has a board of trustees, lots of committees and bylaws, just like our congregations, and it has an elected president, who you just saw. The UUA gathers at an event called General Assembly, or GA, every June to do several things: to worship together, to run and attend workshops so we can learn from each other and from the wisdom and inspiration of people who are not Unitarian Universalist, and to do business. The business part is much like our annual congregational meeting, except it's way bigger. The items for discussion and vote are brought by the Board of Trustees, and the people in attendance representing their congregations, called delegates, do the discussing and the voting. And then there's the best part of GA, the running into people in the halls and on the streets, and the indescribable feeling of being among thousands of my people. So there are several layers of things to share. The easy part, I'll do first. There were elections. There were members elected to the Board of Trustees, to the General Assembly Planning Committee, to the Nominating Committee, and to the Presidential Search Committee, which will begin its work this year. There were actions of immediate witness, which are more than statements. They are sentiments brought by member congregations to the gathering of the whole for deliberation and the choosing of three. Our bylaws say we can choose three actions of immediate witness. And then they're communicated out, as I am just about to do now, so our congregations know what the other congregations in our voluntary association believe is most important this year. The first of those actions of immediate witness is called We Do Not Consent, Rejecting Legal Challenges to Abortion. I'm going to have to stop and breathe a lot today, I think. The second is called Anti-Racism and Reparations via Restorative Justice. And the third is called Stop the Privatization of Medicare. There were three business resolutions adopted. The first is renewing the UA bylaws for theologically grounded and mission-focused governance as amended. You'll hear more about that in a few minutes. The second has to do with the structure of the accountability process of the General Assembly Planning Committee. Much like our congregation, the UUA practices a form of governance that separates governance, building policies, and ministry, which is the implementation of those policies. The General Assembly Planning Committee has been part of the governance structure of the UUA board. And they're finally realizing that this planning committee really is a ministry. It's an implementation of what we want to do. So that's the second piece. And the third is a rule amendment to Rule G9.13.10, which is basically a typo correction. The other thing that is up for discussion and feedback and it's not up for vote yet because this is a long process, is the work of the Article II Study Commission, which is related to the work of bylaws changing. The Article II Study Commission has been charged by the UUA Board to, quote, review Article II of the UUA bylaws and propose any revisions that would enable our UUA, our member congregations, and our covenanted communities to be a relevant and powerful force for spiritual and moral growth, healing, and justice. Proposed changes should articulate core UU theological values. What does that mean? I was going to tell you later what that means, but I think I need to tell you now so you not get lost in what does that mean? Article 2 is the part of our bylaws that holds the principles and purposes, the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism, the six sources that feed those principles. It holds our statement of purpose as an association. It holds a statement of inclusivity, and it holds a statement of freedom of belief. So these are up for rewrite. The commission is framing that work with four components: covenant, purpose, inspiration, and values. This is the language they're using to talk about how they are working on the bylaws. So that's a lot of words. Underneath them all, underneath all of these decisions and votes and discussions and elections, is an intention and a change in structure and process that Susan alluded to and goes into more in the report, the link to which is on the website, our website somewhere. Underneath all of that, that's what I want to share today. And to do that, I have to go back just a couple of years. So at the 2017 GA, the Commission on Institutional Change was established, a board task force, as it were, was established and charged by the board to conduct an audit of white privilege and the structure of power within Unitarian Universalism, and to analyze structural racism and white supremacy culture within the UUA. The commission was in place for 3 years, through the virtual GA of June 2020, so 2017 to 2020. And during that time, they did all kinds of things. And among them, they curated discussion guides and videos and presentations to use within our congregations. I made use of some of those as I preached about widening the circle of concern. And the tangible result of that work was a report released in June 2020 called Widening the Circle of Concern. The report, as I've talked about before, contains really sobering stories of marginalization and harm told by UUs of color, by queer and gender expansive UUs, by disabled UUs, by others. Stories that are current. And it contains a wide set of recommendations for structural and procedural changes within the UUA. The history of why this commission had to be appointed goes back way longer than that. I don't have the time for that, but suffice it to say that our association has repeatedly started doing the work of dismantling our culture of white supremacy and repeatedly given it up. And we're being called into accountability by our members and by our colleagues who've been harmed by this. So one of their recommendations was the review of the Article 2 in our bylaws. As I said, this is our big defining article. And at this GA, the commission presented drafts that they've been working on for the past 2 years. I'm not going to read all those drafts. There's a lot of them. Maybe I should have. I'll put them on the website. So they presented a draft on Thursday on the statement of purpose. That's very different. Yeah, I really should have included these. Oh well. On our statement of purpose, that's reworded. And that president's report was the day right after. I mean, was the same day that afternoon. On Friday, they presented a draft of our values and sources of inspiration, which is to replace the list of six sources, right? And that was followed by business resolutions, right? So we're doing the work of restructuring ourselves while we're doing the work of deciding what we want to say and be in the world. It's really cool. On Saturday, the draft presented was on covenant. Everything we did in those business sessions, and you'll notice that there is no draft yet for the seven principles themselves, which the commission has been charged to include work on the eighth principle in that. So that draft hasn't happened yet. So everything we did in our business sessions, when we heard these drafts, it reflected a commitment to making the changes that are needed to make our structure and our processes more accessible to everyone. So there was theological framing, which simply means getting up and saying, as you use, we believe this, and therefore, maybe we should be thinking about doing this. There were small group discussions. I know some of us hate that, but there were small group discussions. Every time a draft was put up on the screen, the moderators said, I'll take a few minutes. Go in your chat rooms if you're attending virtually. Turn to a neighbor if you're here in person. Talk about how this draft lands for you. Once those discussions once the time for those discussions was up, there was time for larger conversation, full group conversation. Those conversations used to be held with a pro mic over there and a con mic over here and a microphone in the middle so that anybody who had a question on the procedure of how we're doing this business could come up to that microphone and ask their question. We like to do things just so, and so more time was spent on the procedural mic than the conversation about the issues. Anyone who's been to a GA or has talked to more than four UUs at once knows this. This year, they made small booths with curtains around them, with a laptop in them for the pro and con sections, so that whether you were speaking in person or speaking virtually, coming in virtually, you looked the same. You're a big face on the screen. And the procedural mic was turned into a table where a person sat with our bylaws and our rules. And if you had a question, you could go up to the table and have a quiet conversation about it. It was beautiful. And the voting didn't happen during the sessions. Those of you who haven't gone to GA don't know how this happens. It happens a lot like it happens in our congregation, right? Something is brought for a vote, there's a discussion, and then at GA you have these big yellow cards that you hold up and tellers walk around the giant hall and they count the votes. What that doesn't do is give our delegates time after they have heard the conversation and been part of it to go back to their congregations and say, hey, what do we do about this? What do you want me to do about this? If they're not clear, if they don't know. The voting happens online now after the sessions. You have the full day to register your vote. It's so awesome. So the effect of all of this was to change the focus of the whole process, right, of doing business. We were reminded over and over again, not out loud necessarily, but by how we were doing the work, that we're a faith community, that we're in covenant with each other, and that we're responsible for the things we say, that relationship is primary, and that the work we do is sacred. In a business meeting. Beneath that is another layer. This time of year is always tender for me. You've seen some of that. Doing ministry is so amazing. It's so fulfilling, and doing it with you all for the last 8 years has also been amazing. I get to make relationship toward the goal of peace and justice for a living. I get to journey with people during the most tender times of their lives. I get to preach and do the work of spreading love and justice in the world. I get to care for you and with you as the world gets harder and meaner for more people all the time. I get to learn and grow every single day, whether I like it or not. I get to make connections with some of the most insightful, caring, powerful colleagues and leaders. And you might think I'm talking about other ministers and people in national UU leadership, and I am, but I'm also talking about you all and all the ways you lead. I get to learn from that, and I do. It is wonder-filled work, and I'm pleased and I'm honored to be trusted to do it. And it takes a lot of energy. Like most, if not all of you, sometimes I have enough energy to do my job really, really well. Sometimes I don't. Like most, if not all of you, I've developed practices that keep me going when I go through those lower energy times. And before COVID, one of those practices was collegial gatherings. Every other month with the ministers in this part of Wisconsin, every November with the Ohio River Study Group, every fall and spring with a larger group of local colleagues, every year at General Assembly and Ministry Days, every 3 years at the Institute for the Learning Ministry, professional development work. And again, like most of all of you, if not all of you, this rhythm has been broken by the pandemic. I've had to find other ways to sustain my mental and spiritual health. So, when I attended the installation service for my dear friend Nathan Ryan in Baton Rouge in April, I got to see my beloveds from seminary for the very first time in 3 years. I also got to meet colleagues I hadn't known before, and one of them, as we were sharing our pandemic experiences over dinner, as ministers do, said that what has saved her during this time has been her relationships and her time with colleagues. Bing, bing, bing. She has gone to every in-person collegial event that's been offered in her region. She's gone in person, and she attended the Institute for Learning Ministry that happened last winter. I heard her say that, and I registered for Ministry Days NGA the next day. So what I got to do, this is the other layer, right? This is my own layer. I got to be with people I hadn't seen in 3 years. I got to make new relationships. I got to walk around a new city. I got to go to a cool arboretum. I got to have casual, unplanned interactions. I got to be a puddle when I needed to. And I got to be held. And my very favorite experience, the Friday after the Portland protests against the overturning of Roe v. Wade, in which our president was invited to speak, a bunch of folks gathered at a restaurant that I happened to be having dinner at, our president among them. And after dinner, my friend and I that were having dinner joined the other colleagues, including Susan. Susan was talking about the experience of being at this protest, and I got to see what you're seeing now in our president, the emotion, the things that keep her going. And I got to join her and 20 other colleagues screaming the four-letter word that begins with F into the night sky. It was amazing. And so what I've learned from this GA is all of those things, right, that I've mentioned, all of the layers. But I've known them all, right? I just had to be reminded of them. I'm not alone in my fear. I'm not alone in my worry. We are rooted in love. Our lives are collective and interdependent. The people our association and many of our congregations have kept in the margins have wisdom and inspiration to share that comes out of the experience of being on those margins. And many of us who have been centered are just coming to understand those experiences as the pandemic has put us in different places. Learning new ways that work for everyone means unlearning current ways that were built with a lens that did not include everyone. Business as usual is not what's going to fix what's broken in our communities and our world. Sometimes things have to burn down completely in order to be reborn. The unspoken theme for Ministry Days was Ember in the Ashes. And what we are doing, the thing after the colon, right, in the name for this General Assembly, meet the moment, colon, reimagining radical faith community. That is what's going to fix what's broken. It's not just what I learned this week, it's what I learn over and over and over again, and what we are learning over and over again as a large faith community in our congregation, in our interactions, and this is our work. It's always been our work. It's always been our work for centuries as a living tradition that changes when we change and when it needs to change, right? It's always been our work. It's like our congregation, right? Every time we welcome someone new into our doors, we change just a little bit, right? And we've been working on widening our own circle here, too, right? This has meant doing lots of things differently. Some things y'all have noticed, some things maybe you haven't. Multi-platform worship. Moving away from Robert's Rules of Order. Children in the whole service. Shifts in language. Sharing of pronouns. This is all part of the work. With intention, with support, with compassion for ourselves in each other, with willingness to make mistakes and sit in discomfort, we are up to this work. I had to leave and go to General Assembly to be reminded of that. May it be so. May we be so.